John chapter 20, the story of Mary Magdalene. It's interesting to look at the interactions that happened between people and Jesus. It's an amazing thing, and it gives us insight into both characters, the character of God, but also what was in this person. Who was she? What made her do what she did? How did her behavior affect Jesus? Did it affect Jesus? Did it?
Yes.
How did it affect him? Well, we'll see presently. So I need someone to read verse 1, well, 1 through 18. Good and loud. Who'd like to do that? We have a monkey.
Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they had not known the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her.
Amen. Thank you. It's an amazing portion of Scripture. Because I've asked God often for insights into someone like Enoch. As the Bible says, Enoch walked with God, and God took him. He didn't have to die. God was so desirous of his company, he just took him. What was there about Enoch that was so alluring, that God wanted him so badly? We don't know much about him. He walked with God. That tells us something. But it's interesting when we can see something in the character of the person that clearly shows why God favored them or didn't favor them. And Mary Magdalene is one of these people. Now, for reference, it's Luke 8:2, where it says Jesus cast out seven demons out of her. So it was... She was a woman who needed ministry, and received it from Jesus. And it changed her life. It changed her life. And I have seen God do wonderful miracles for people, and it didn't change them at all. I mean, it changed them for 24 hours. They were all excited about God. But 2 weeks later, it was like, so what's he doing now? But this woman was transformed. So much so that we see clear evidence of her passion for God. She had a sincere passion for God. The first verse, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away. So she's the first one there. What made her do that? What was it in her that caused her to get up so early and to go to the tomb? Any idea? What was in her? She loved him. She loved him. You're right. She loved God. She loved Jesus. She was absolutely bonded to him. And even his death did not diminish that. Mary Magdalene loved Jesus. And so she's come to the tomb here, and she goes to get Peter and John, and they come back, of course, and they look, and they see there's nothing there. And what did they do? What did they do? Verse 10. They went home. They went home. Now, these are the disciples of Jesus. They went home. These were the, for lack of a better word, the spiritual elite who had been with him for 3 years. And when they came and saw an empty tomb, they went home. Now the Bible says in verse 9 that they did not understand the scripture that says he has to rise again. But in verse 11, we see Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. Now, boy, I hope we get this today. Something was happening in her heart that so influenced God that God made a special intervention on her behalf. She looked into the tomb. What did she see? Two angels. Why didn't Peter and John see them? Why didn't they see them? Weren't they the main gentleman of his, and yet they didn't see him. They did not see the angels. What did they see? Nothing. Very close. And yet we don't hear a lot about Mary Magdalene. I mean, sometimes people think that she's the one, the prostitute that came and ministered to Jesus. But there's really no scriptural evidence to support that. She may or may not have been. But there was something in this woman that so loved God that she got something no one else did. No one else. Because this was the most important morning of Jesus' life. He has resurrected from the grave. And so they say to her, verse 12, the two angels in white sitting there, and they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Why are you weeping?" So why is she weeping? Why is she weeping? Well, it says so pretty clearly. She's weeping because she can't find the body of Jesus. Can't find the body of Jesus. Her heart is so broken, she wanted to come and minister to his body the things that they do after, you know, a person's dead. But her heart is so reaching out to Jesus, so committed to minister to him, that no one else is there. It's not like she had to move through 10 or 12 people to get there. The disciples have come and they looked. They didn't see anything and they left. She didn't leave. She didn't leave. We can learn something from that. God is looking for people who won't leave.
Amen.
Not for people who will look in and see what's going on. Oh, big deal, go home. But he's looking for someone who won't leave. Someone who is so committed to the person of Christ that they won't be distracted from that. And she says to them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him. Now when she'd said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and she didn't know it was him. She did not know it was Jesus. Someone asked me this morning, in Luke chapter 24, there's the two fellas on the road to Emmaus. And why did Jesus pick those two to show himself to? Why not these two? Why not those two? Why these two? And I said to them, the answer is in verse 32. That's why there was something about these two individuals that caught the heart of God. I'm just going to read it to you. That's for another time, but just to... So Jesus has appeared to them, talked to them, and left. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? What does that tell you about them? What does that tell you about these two fellows? They're hungry for God. They were genuinely and sincerely hungry for God. And God knows that. God knows who's hungry for him. He knows that. And he takes time for those people. Jesus took time to minister to these two characters. God will do the same thing for us. The same thing. So we get back to Mary, and she doesn't recognize Jesus. She does not recognize him. So she thinks he's the gardener, and she's saying, where have you put him? And I'll come and take him away. So she's still there looking to do the ablutions for the dead body. That's what she's there for. At least that's what she thinks she's there for. She doesn't recognize that Jesus is speaking to her. And Jesus says her name, Mary. There's just something about the way he says it. And all of a sudden, her eyes are open. Her eyes are open. And she sees who he is. Now, verse 17 is an absolutely amazing verse. Jesus says to her, don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Do you get that? Here is the creator of the universe who has just done the most important thing that he will ever do in life. And it's his joy now to go up to be with the Father. But he stops. He stops. And he takes the time to speak to a woman that is really of no reputation. She's no one, I mean, there's no one in the Bible about her where, you know, she didn't write one of the books or chapters or anything like that. But he took the time before he went up to see the Father to minister to her. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? See, therein lies the key. Why did Jesus stop just to minister to Mary Magdalene before he went to heaven. Why did he do that? Any ideas? It's very simple. She loved him. She loved him. She loved Jesus, and she loved him so much that it got God's attention. It got God's attention. And I was reminded of the verse, let me just read to you, 1 Corinthians 8:3. If anyone loves God, this one is known by God. God knows who loves him. God knows the people who love him. And so on this morning, when Jesus is celebrating the most powerful event in history, where he can go to the Father and rejoice together in that he has accomplished what was extremely painful for him to do. But on the way, he stops and spends time with a woman before he goes to heaven. I find that mind-boggling, to be truthful. Can you imagine the creator of the universe doing that? He stops to talk to her because she is worried about his body, because she loves him. She cares about him. So the question is, how much do we care about him? Would he have stopped for us? Would Jesus have stopped to speak to me or to speak to you on his way to heaven? It's an important question. How much do I love God? How much do I love God? Does God know that I love him? Well, he does if I do. Mary Magdalene, this may be the only portion of Scripture where she's mentioned at length, but it is critically important for us to get the insight that if we will love God, if we will reach out to God, if we will give of ourselves to God, we will get his attention. We will get his attention. It is remarkable to think that none of the disciples got that. Not one. Not Peter, not John. None of them. Only this lady. You know, I'm sure they loved God. I'm sure they did. But there was something about her commitment to Jesus that got his attention. It got his attention. God will move heaven and earth for you if you will love him. If you will love him. And what is the criteria for loving God? How does he define that you love him and that I love him? That's true, but there's a criteria.
If we obey his word.
Say it again.
If we obey his word.
If you love me, you will obey my command. So you see, there is a very clear way of defining whether we love God or not. Are we having Christ formed in us? Are we having Christ formed in us? God wants to fill each and every one of us with his passion, with his love, with his caring, with his divine presence. And if we will embrace that, it will bring a transforming glory into our lives. God is radical. God's radical. He's a radical person. If you think about someone who his way of dealing with sin was to be crucified and whipped, that's radical. To offer his life or death in a, I can't even imagine the pain that a crucifixion would bring, but That's radical. That's radical. God's passion for you is radical. It's radical. God loves you and cares about your life, but he won't force you or me to embrace him. We make the choice. Mary Magdalene made the choice of loving Jesus, even when she thought, there's nothing more he can do for me. He's dead. He's dead. So she wasn't looking for any benefit. She was looking to express her love and devotion to him after he was dead. After he was dead. That's what was in her heart. What's in my heart? What's in your heart? What's in your heart? You will stand in front of Jesus. And God asked me a question the other day. He said, would you love me just as much if there were no benefits? In other words, when you die, you come to heaven. But before that, you're on your own. That's an interesting question, isn't it? It'd be like asking some people, too, would you tithe if you couldn't deduct it anymore? Would that change it? Would it change what's in the heart? Would I love God if I couldn't call him my peace, joy, healer, deliverer, and so forth? Would I love him just as much? What is in my heart for God? What's in my heart? God loves you. God loves you. And God cares about every detail. And if you'll embrace the heart of Christ, he will transform your life forever. We can never outgive God. Never. Never. But it's in the surrender to God that freedom is really found. It's in the surrender to Christ, to the Holy Spirit, to letting God transform us, change us, for him to impart his grace into our lives. It's a wonderful thing that we don't actually have to make that choice, do we? Thank God. We are blessed that God gives freely of himself, every part of himself, including his blessings. And the Bible tells us that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:3. Yeah, every spiritual blessing. God has already committed himself to love you. God's committed himself. And his stopping on his way to heaven on the day of resurrection is a clear demonstration of just how committed he really is. This woman was so important to Jesus. She was so important to him that he couldn't go to heaven without stopping and talking to her. Couldn't go to heaven. Can you imagine? I mean, here he is having accomplished what no one else could do. He's about to go to heaven to see his father, and he hasn't seen him he's been gone how many years? 33 years. Do you think he'd be anxious to go? Would you be anxious to go? And yet, even in the rush to go, he stops and says, you're so important. You're so important that I'm going to stop before I go to heaven. Just to talk to you. Just to talk to you. Isn't that amazing? Amen. That's the love of God for us. That's the depth that God loves you. He loves you. It's interesting that the disciples, they didn't get that. Now they saw him after, but not till after. So what it spoke to me is that Even as a disciple of Jesus, there's a depth of love, of loving God, that goes way deeper than just following his precepts. It's a commitment level to love Jesus, just to love God, just to love God. And of course, that has to express itself in the way that we live. And we're very thankful that God is a miracle worker. Very thankful. Amen. I thank God every day for his grace in that area. But I believe he's calling us. I know he's calling me to love him abundantly. Exceedingly abundantly. Exceedingly abundantly. And I believe he's calling you too. Amen. God is calling every one of us to love him, to connect with him, because he cares about you. Amen. Amen? Father, we bless you this morning. We're so thankful for the resurrection, Jesus. I thank God for the resurrection. I'm grateful that you rose from the dead, and I'm grateful for salvation, Jesus. I'm grateful for the wonderful blessings that you've given us, Lord. And I especially am thankful that you are willing to be so close to us. Intimate. So intimate. Father, help us. Help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us to recognize the precious gift that God gives us of his fellowship. That Jesus, you're a remarkable person, just remarkable. Help me, Lord, not to take you for granted. Help me to appreciate the love you have in your heart for me. Help me, Lord. I think it's so apropos that today, being Resurrection Day, that we can make a fresh start in our level of commitment to Jesus, to know God.